Job. I'm still recovering this morning from the lock-in that we had Friday night and on into yesterday morning. I was a glutton for punishment and stayed all night with the children's choir, and we had a good time. But if you'd like for your child to be a part of the children's choir, they do meet each Sunday night at 6:30. Tonight I will be continuing for our worship service up here, continuing our study we started a couple weeks ago about principles of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, found in Matthew chapter 13 as we study the parables that Jesus gave concerning the kingdom of heaven. We'll continue that tonight. This morning I would like to preach a message. I've preached from this passage before, but the Lord spoke to my heart again about this week. But I'd like to preach on the subject of there's a miracle in your house. There's a miracle in your house. Whatever the problem, whatever the need for the child of God, there's a miracle in your house. 2 Kings chapter number 4, beginning at verse number 1. It says, "A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves.' So Elisha said to her, 'What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?' And she said, 'Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil.' Then he said, 'Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, and you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones.' So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, 'Bring me another vessel.' And he said to her, 'There is not another vessel.' So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, 'Go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest.'" Find it interesting that God not only supplies our needs, but he goes above and beyond the needs that we have. And we need to just look around and see what God has blessed us with in our house, give that to him, and watch him do a miracle with what we give to him. Let's bow and go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that there are miracles just waiting to take place this morning. Lord, I don't know what everybody's need is, but you do. Lord, you are able to meet each need according to your perfect will. Lord, we thank you for what we've already experienced this morning in our worship time as the praises and hymns have been sung. Lord, I thank you for how you're speaking to our hearts already and how you're going to speak to us this morning. Lord, I just pray that if there's anyone here who's never been saved, I pray your Holy Spirit would even now begin to convict them and draw them to Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that whatever need someone may have, if they're in need of a miracle, I pray they'd find it in you today. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who works miracles. You're the God of the impossible. Lord, I ask you for the fullness and power of the Holy Spirit of God as I preach. Give me the words to say that might touch someone's heart. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Too often, we give all of our attention to the problems we face instead of the all-sufficient God that we serve. Let me say that again. Too often, we give all of our attention to the problems we face instead of to the all-sufficient God that we serve. It has been rightly said that where our attention goes, that's where the power goes. Wherever our attention is focused is where the power will be placed in our lives. If we give all or most of our attention to our problems, we are going to empower the problems to overtake and utterly defeat us. Such was the case with this widow in 2 Kings chapter 4. She is crying out in desperation for the man of God, Elisha, to help her. Instead of offering her financial assistance, however, he instead refocuses her attention from the problem to the possible solutions. He helped her to see that there was a miracle in her house. We need to look around us. It's been rightly said. We need to quit praying, "Lord, give me such and such," and instead pray, "Lord, open my eyes so that I may see that I already have it." Because God will supply all of our needs according to His riches in glory. I believe that whatever problems we face individually and whatever problems we face corporately as a church, the answer lies not on the outside, but on the inside. We need to look around and see what we have and ask God to reveal the miracle that is waiting. We talked last week about how we need to move from sitting to service. How God wants us to move beyond just sitting and listening to speeches and out there serving in the world. We have been called to a cause that is greater than ourselves. There are many problems out there in the world that they will not find the solution in government, and they will not find the solution in the things of this world. Many of them have tried the things of this world and have only found themselves to be empty when they got through trying all that the world had to offer. But you and I who know Jesus Christ, we serve the one who came that we might have life and have it more abundantly to the fullest possible measure. We have something that they need, and we are called to serve them and be ministers of reconciliation out there in the world. When we look around though at the problems that we face, if we focus all our attention on the problems and how big that they are, we will never get to the solution. God wants us to be not just about seeing the problem and talking about the problem, but no, He wants us to focus our attention on the solution and on the miracle working power that He has. I still believe that we serve the true and living God. I still believe that He's a God who works miracles and who sets people that are bound free. I believe that what they need is not found in the world, but it's found in what you and I have, and we are called to go and give it to them. Offer whatever you have to the Lord, the God who works miracles. You might think, "What can I do? I don't have very much to offer." Offer what you do have to God in faith and watch Him perform a miracle with it. This morning I want us to look at the problem that she was facing, the prophet she was confronting, and the power that she found. And I ask that the Lord would open our eyes to see that there is indeed a miracle in your house. Notice, first of all, she was facing a problem. Now notice who this woman is. It says, "A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. The creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves.'" Notice, first of all, her spouse. He was one of the sons of the prophets. To put that on today's terms, he would have been a Bible college student. He felt God's call on his life. He felt that God was setting him apart for a particular service in the ministry of the prophet, and he was studying under the great prophet Elisha, who was pouring himself into these sons of the prophets. It was in this setting that this man who had dedicated his life to the Lord, in fact, the Bible says about him, the infallible and inerrant word of God says about him that he was a man who feared God. You see, problems come not just to people who don't know God, but they come to people who fear God. Sometimes that out of nowhere a problem will arise. Out of nowhere, when we are trying to serve the Lord and we're fearing God and we love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, still yet sometimes problems come. He was in Bible college, and like many college students, he owed a lot of money. He owed some money to the creditors. And then the worst thing that could possibly happen for his wife happened. He died. Why was that so bad? Because under the law, whenever someone died, their creditor could immediately come and take whatever was owed to him. And if they did not have the means wherewith to pay off the creditor immediately. Under the law, he could take her sons and he could make them his slaves until the debt was paid off. That's her situation. She needed to pay off his debts, and if she couldn't, she would face the serious consequences of losing not only her son, of losing not only her spouse, but also losing her sons. Imagine this. This woman who feared God. This woman who their family was dedicated to serving God. They were trying to study and get and receive from the other people of God so that they could go out and serve the Lord in the ministry. And yet, here it comes. He dies, and she's left with debts that she cannot pay. The law required that they become slaves. The law always enslaves, by the way. But the Spirit gives life. The law kills. Instead of being a legalistic life-killing church, we need to be a Spirit-led and Spirit-filled life-giving church. Jesus Christ came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And then He sent the Holy Spirit of God to live inside of us who know Him. And we have life and life to the fullest. The law kills. The law was going to enslave these boys. The law said she would lose everything. She would lose her house. She would lose her possessions. She would lose her family. What could she do? And you know, whenever we get to looking around at the problems that we face as a society and as a country, even problems in our own community, even problems in your own household, it may be that the problems are like the problem that this woman was facing. I mean, she could not face it on her own. She could not make the problem go away. She could not pay the debts that she owed. We look around when there are so many hurting in our community, we ask, what can we do? When there are so many suffering in our church with illness and cancer and different diseases, we ask, what can we do? When there are so many in our community who are being laid off and who don't know where their next paycheck is going to come from, many people who are hungry and they're not able to afford the basic necessities of life, we ask ourselves, what on earth can we do? We're only one person. We're only one church. What on earth can we do? When there are so many living without purpose, and their purpose is just to go from one high to the next, whether it be through drugs or alcohol or whatever it is. When there are so many people that their sole purpose in life is to go out on Friday night and get drunk, we ask, what on earth can we do? Whenever there are so many people bound by sin, bound by self, bound by Satan himself, we ask, what can we do? Again, where your attention goes, your power also goes. When there are so many babies being aborted each day in America, we ask, what can we do? When there are so many people who are bound by so many things, we ask, what can we do? Again, we need to refocus our attention. Sure, the problems are there. And as long as we live in a sin-cursed and fallen world, the problems are always going to be there. Jesus said, the poor you have always with you. We're always going to be facing problems. We're always going to be facing things that are beyond our control. We're always going to be facing things, even in our own life, that we seemingly cannot do anything about. But when we cannot do anything about them, I'm glad I serve a God who can do something about it. Notice she goes to the prophet. This prophet that she was confronting, she, certain woman of the wisest son of the prophets, cried out to Elisha. Verse 2, so Elisha said to her, who was Elisha? Turn back a couple pages to 2 Kings chapter number 2. 2 Kings chapter number 2. This man Elisha had come onto the scene. Elijah had called him under the direction of God. Elijah called Elisha to follow him and to pour into him something so that he could take his place whenever the Lord was ready to call Elijah home to be with him. Pick up reading in verse number 9. So it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you? Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. I like Elisha's attitude. He was not willing to settle for mediocrity. He was not willing to settle for just being average. You know what average is. Average, it's been said, is the best of the worst and the worst of the best. It's not reaching the level of above average, and it's not quite falling down to the level of below average, but God wants us to be above average. He wants His children to live above the status quo. In fact, Jesus said, if someone comes to you and compels you to take their burden a mile, carry it 2 miles. Jesus said, when your enemy slaps you on your right cheek, turn to him also the other cheek. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, be above average. Don't just settle for average, be above average. And Elisha was not willing to settle for average. Too many average churches out there in the world. Too many average Christians where they just come in, they go through the motions. They're satisfied with sitting and listening to speeches and going home completely unchanged, and it doesn't make any difference in the world in which they live. God forbid that we would claim that God Almighty took up residence inside of us and we left our world the same way that we found it. God has placed us here as salt and light in our community. And because the Spirit of the living God lives inside of us, the same Spirit that raised Jesus up from the dead, because He's alive in us, we aren't to be average. We're to be above average, showing the world that there's a difference that the Savior can make in their life. Hallelujah. I'm going to bless myself whether y'all get blessed or not. Hallelujah. Y'all can sit there if you want to. Woo! He says, give me a double portion of your spirit. Verse 10, so he said, you have asked a hard thing. That's Elijah saying it. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you, but if not, it shall not be so. Notice Elijah says, this is a hard thing you're asking. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so. Too often, we're satisfied with just praying average prayers, doing average deeds, going through the motions, going through the formalities. When was the last time you really got serious with God and asked something hard of Him? When was the last time that you really took hold of the horns of the altar of God and you prayed all night? When was the last time that God got a hold of your heart and you really got serious with Him and it got to a level that was beyond you, where it wasn't just you anymore saying words, but it was the Spirit of God praying through you and controlling you? When was the last time that you lived your life with power from on high? He says, you've asked a hard thing, but if you do this, it'll be so for you. Then it happened as they continued on and talked, and suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. What a way to go. Hallelujah. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, struck the water, and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophets, who were from Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. We've talked about his plea, how he wanted a double portion. He wasn't satisfied with mediocrity. Our prayer ought to be, Lord, let my ministry exceed expectations. We've talked before about how I am not the only minister that this church has. Every one of you who know Jesus Christ, you are a minister. Every one of you are to be involved in ministry out there in the world. The Lord has called you not just to sit, but to serve. If the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, then who are we? The servant is not greater than his Lord. And if our Lord could serve other people, then we are called as ministers to serve a hurting humanity. Lord, let my ministry exceed expectations. Lord, let us do our very best for your glory. Lord, use us to touch thousands of lives for your kingdom. His plea, give me a double portion, then his persistence. He asked for more from God. In fact, Elijah, the man of God, the prophet, the same one that stood on Mount Carmel and called out the prophets of Baal and said, let the God who answers by fire, let him be God. This same great man of God, he says, you've asked a hard thing. But he says, if you will continue and you'll be with me when I depart, it'll be so for you. God will not force himself on any of us. But God will give us as much as we are willing to ask for. James 4 and verse 2 tells us that we have not because we ask not. I don't know about you, but I don't want to get to heaven and have God to say, look around over here. This is the blessings that I had stored up in my warehouse for you. And I was going to pour it out on you. I was gonna give you a breakthrough in your ministry. I was gonna let you see this happen or that happen. I was gonna give you this blessing, but you simply did not ask. God desires to give His children good things. God thinks good thoughts towards His children. He's longing to pour out blessing upon us who are His children. Just as a good father wants to bless his children, God wants to bless you, but we have not because we ask not. I believe that the reason Elisha was used of God in the way he was because he asked, Lord, give me a double portion. He asked for more from God and he continued. The early church continued in the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread and in prayers. You see, if we want the double portion of God to come upon us, we have to be willing to ask, but we also have to be willing to continue in what we know that God has called us to do. Too often, we go searching for some experience somewhere, and we think, man, if I can just get that experience, then everything will smooth out in my life, and everything will be okay. If I could only have this to happen or that to happen, and God is saying, I want you to continue in what you have learned, even if you don't see the tangible results at the time. We all want the tangible results, and we're all blessed when the tangible results come. But are we willing, in the midst of suffering, when we don't see the results, are we willing to continue? Elisha continued his persistence and then finally his power. He continued, and he continued with the prophet Elijah. He let the prophet Elijah pour into him something that he would use later on in his life. We need to spend time with other Christians and glean wisdom and power from their lives. Got to thinking about this week about how the Lord has blessed me in my life to be able to spend time with some great men and women of God. I think about men who have poured stuff into me. I think about my dad who's been preaching the gospel all my life. I think about Dr. J. Harold Smith, the great evangelist that has gone on to be with the Lord, who literally saw over 1 million people come to faith in Christ when he preached the great sermon, God's Three Deadlines. I think about men like Bob Mowry, who now later on in his life is still being faithful to serve the true and the living God. Let me just tell you, you are never too old to quit learning and gleaning from others. No matter what age you are never too old to quit learning and gleaning things from others. God has placed us in the place where we are at and put the people around us that we have so that we can learn from them and we can be blessed by them. God's plan is still in the church for the older women to teach the younger women. God's plan in the church is still for the older men who've been saved for a long time to teach the younger men in the faith, the new converts. That is still God's plan. And it's a shame and disgrace that we live in a day where all these churches are being started to try and reach certain age groups when every age group is necessary if we're going to be all that we can be for God. There is not one age group that is any better than the other age group, but there are different experiences and life experiences that some people have had that are older than us that we need as young people to glean from their lives, to allow them to pour into their into our lives the things that God has poured into their lives. We need them to teach us the things that they have learned, and we need to have a teachable spirit. I believe the reason that Elisha got his double portion was because he had a teachable spirit, and he said he continued walking with Elijah. You're never too old to quit learning and gleaning from others. And then his power, as he's continuing, notice what happens. He saw the chariot of Israel. All of a sudden, a chariot of fire appears out of nowhere. And he worships the God of Elijah. Notice Elisha saw it, verse 12. He cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more. He took hold of his own clothes, tore them into two pieces. And then he took up the mantle. In other words, he saw God in a way that he'd never seen him before. We all need those experiences, those mountaintop experiences, to where we've been going along, continuing in the things that we've learned. We've continued even in the midst of suffering and trials. We've continued, even though it's gotten hard, we've still continued to do what God has called us to do, even on the days when we don't feel like it. I'll be honest, there are some days when I wake up and it's a mountaintop experience, other days when I wake up and I don't even feel like it. Sometimes I go to pray and the spirit of prayer is upon me, and other times I go to pray when I don't even feel like praying. But if we will continue, even during the times when we don't feel like it, if we continue, there will come the mountaintop. There, just hold on, it's coming. Just hold on. He saw the chariot of Israel. He worships the Lord God of Elijah, and then he took up the mantle. Think about this often whenever I'm called upon to preach a funeral. Especially for a dear saint of God who's lived for the Lord for a long time. I think about how they are leaving behind a godly legacy. They're leaving behind a mantle, if you will, just as Elijah left behind. Will that mantle be left on the ground for others to talk about what a great mantle it was? Or will somebody take it up and use what they have received for the glory of God? Remember when my great granny passed away. Told you about her before, how up till just a couple weeks before she died, she was going down to the utility office in Hendersonville getting the names of the new cut on so that she could call and invite people to church. If my great granny at 80 years old can do that, what is our problem? Everyone can do something. Don't say there's just not anything I can do. There is something that you can do. There are too many problems out there that we have the solution for because we know God, for us just to sit idly by. Elisha, he didn't let the mantle lay there on the ground. Too often in the church, we'll have dear saints of God to pass away. It's true with preachers as well. Some great man of God, preacher, passes away, and we enshrine the mantle. We talk about how great it was when he was alive. We talk about how great it was back then. Let me tell you, God wants to do something right now. Sure, he worked in a powerful way, but God wants to do something right now. Instead of just enshrining the mantle and talking about how great the mantle was, God's Spirit is available to everyone. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the Lord God of Elijah was also the Lord God of Elisha. Hallelujah. He gave him that double portion. Elisha did twice as many miracles as Elijah did. Hallelujah. It could be that God is waiting on you to take up the mantle. Maybe you've had a dear godly grandmother pass away, or godly grandfather pass away, or maybe it's some dear saint of God that's passed away, and sure, He used them in a great way. And now God's saying, will you take up the mantle? I want to use you to do twice as much. If only you, because you're still young, you still have zeal and vigor that you can use for the Lord. Will you take up the mantle and let me use you? Others saw it, and he imparted it to others. Notice Elisha doesn't just take up the mantle and say, man, I've got the mantle. I got it. No, he takes up the mantle and he uses it. It's not just that we get the mantle so that we can tell others we got the mantle. No, we use it for the glory of God. And he goes and he starts teaching the sons of the prophets to serve God. And this man here, he is able to be a blessing to this man's family who passes away. Why? Because he didn't keep it to himself. There are other people out there that God wants to use you to make a difference in their life. There are other people out there that if you'll just use the mantle, not just take it up, but use it for the glory of God, they too can experience the power of God. The power that she found quickly. He says, go borrow, we're back in chapter 4 by the way. He says, go borrow empty vessels. What do you have in your house? Then he says, go borrow empty vessels. We see, first of all, networking, a picture of soul winning when he says, go borrow empty vessels. She had to go to a neighbor's house and borrow empty vessels for. That's a great picture of how we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There are empty vessels all around us. There are people all around us who are empty inside. They are longing. There's a part of them that they know is empty and they know is dry. And they're longing for someone to come along and be able to fill it. Many of them are looking in all the wrong places for that fullness. They're looking in sexual immorality. They're looking in other human relationships. They're looking here and they're looking there. They're looking down at the bar. They're looking on the chat rooms. They're looking all around us to be filled inside, but they're empty. And those of us who know Jesus Christ, He came that we might have life and have it to the fullest. We need to go and gather up the empty vessels and bring them here. All around us there are empty vessels, and God doesn't call the empty vessels to come here. He calls us to go and find them. Just as Jesus left the 99 in the sheepfold and went out and searched for that one who was lost out there on the hillside somewhere. There are people lost all around us on these hillsides and in these hollers. There are people who are empty inside and they need what we found. They need the power of God to be imparted upon them. They need to be saved, set free, and filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And He's asking us, go and find the empty vessels and bring them in. What can I do? You can go find some empty vessels. You can partner with others to fulfill your dream. She had to ask her neighbors if she could borrow the empty vessels. If you have a vision of getting 120 prayer warriors or starting a soup kitchen or something else, find people with the same heart to help you. One can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000 to flight. Some things are too big for one person to do. Some things are too big for one church to do. But if we partner together with others, we can see the power of God fall and we can see God doing the impossible. Anyone that doesn't think anything is possible, you ought to be a Vandy fan like me. We're now bowl eligible. Hallelujah. Sorry if there are any Kentucky fans out there. I mean, I've been waiting since I was 6 years old to be able to say that. Anything's possible. We serve the God of the impossible. With man, things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Find others to help you. Bring others into your circle.
If you're older, but God's given you a dream and a vision, find some young people with zeal and energy to help you. Get some older people if you're young and you have zeal and God's given you a vision. Get some older people who can give you some wisdom and direction and organization for what God has called you to do. Get people who don't always think like you to challenge you. Get people to pray for you and with you to see it accomplished. There's nothing impossible to the God I serve. Hallelujah. Blesses my heart to see God bringing people right here on this hillside together. People from different backgrounds, different walks of life, but God's bringing you together so that we can accomplish a great task together. We can't accomplish it on our own, but together we can see God do the impossible. Go partner with other people because there's empty vessels out there that need to be filled. Quickly investing, he says, take what you have and pour it into the empty vessels. You see, she only had a little bit of oil, and it took great faith for her to be willing to do this. Pour yourself into others. She poured out the oil that she had. Too often we hang on to what little we have instead of pouring it out. When you hang on to your seed, it's been rightly said, it becomes your harvest. When you hang on to your seed, it becomes your harvest. What am I trying to say? She only had a little bit of oil. She could have hung on to that and that would have been the harvest that she had. But God had a greater harvest that He wanted to give her. She could have been satisfied with the 30-fold that she had, but God wanted her to have 100-fold blessing and fruitfulness in her life. If you hang on to what you have, your seed, it becomes your harvest. But when you give what you have away and you plant that seed in the lives of others, it springs forth and brings forth a greater harvest than you could ever imagine. We must pour our time, our talents, our resources, our money, our energy, everything we have, no matter how small or how large, we need to pour it into the lives of people and watch God bring the harvest. Think about a man I read about named Brother Bohr who, when he was 90, led 1,000 people to Christ in hospitals. 90 years old. Couldn't do much, but he could go visit people in the hospital. He always used the opportunity that God gave him to witness and try to draw the net and bring people to Christ. Led 1,000 people to Christ when he's 90. If he can lead 1,000 people to Christ when he's 90, why can't we lead one in a whole year? Pour your oil into other vessels. I'll move quickly. Bring this thing to a close. Oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said that out of our belly would flow rivers of living water. This He spoke of the Holy Spirit. We should not keep it to ourselves if God has done something for us. We should pour it out into the lives of others. Like I said, there's all kinds of empty vessels. People that need to be filled. People that have lost all hope in life. People that are hopeless and helpless. But we have the oil of gladness. We have the joy unspeakable and full of glory. We have joy in the Holy Ghost of God. We have peace that passes all understanding. We have purpose and meaning in life. We have a God who works miracles. We have a God who intervenes on behalf of people. I'm glad that God is not like some have said that He was like. He's not like the agnostics say that if He exists, they don't know if He exists or not, but if He exists, He never intervenes in the affairs of man. I'm glad that's not the God of the Bible. I'm glad that's not the God that I know personally. I'm glad that's not the God that I met when I was 6 years old. I'm glad that that's not the God that has led me every step of the way. I'm glad that that's not the God I serve. He does intervene on behalf of His people. Just when we think all is lost and we think it's a hopeless cause, God steps in. And He intervenes. Hallelujah. And if He's ever intervened in your life, don't keep it to yourself. Anyone should be able to come to us and drink from the fountain that is overflowing from our lives. Pour your oil into other vessels. Pour out what we have, no matter how small. And then we reap a harvest. The picture of supply. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith is substance and evidence. It's substance and evidence. How do we know God exists? How do we know that God created the heavens and the earth? By faith we understand that the world of old were framed by the words of God. Faith is substance and evidence. You say, "I don't have much." If you have faith and you can operate in faith, you can take whatever little thing you have, give it to God, and watch God bless it and use it for His glory. No matter how small, we can watch God bring in the harvest. Faith sees something instead of nothing. And then I'll be closed. Let me read this to you. Faith sees something instead of nothing. It sees possibilities instead of impossibility. It sees potential instead of impotence. It sees ability instead of inability. It sees hope instead of despair. It sees addition instead of subtraction. It sees multiplication instead of division. It sees increase instead of decrease, harvest instead of famine, and it sees substance instead of superficiality. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I ask you, what are you hoping for? What are you hoping to see God accomplish in your life this week? What are you hoping to see God do in your life this year? What are you hoping to see accomplished? What bill do you have that needs paying? What person do you have that's sick that you want to see healed? What person do you know that's lost that you want to see saved? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I'll close with what I said in the introduction. Instead of praying, "Lord, give me," we need to be praying, "Lord, open my eyes to see that I already have it." God has it in His storehouse. He's waiting on us to ask for it, to pour it out into the lives of others, see them filled, see Him do exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. See, all that woman wanted was to have her debts paid so she wouldn't lose her sons. God said, "Pour out what you have into what other people have." If you want to see your children saved, maybe they're out of the house, start pouring yourself into other people's children that need to be saved. Give and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing into your bosom, men will give to you. What do you have? Are you willing to give it by faith and watch God perform a miracle? Every head bowed and every eye closed. I believe there are Christians right now that God's speaking to that need to come to this altar.